In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we hear about the resurrection of the widow's son at Nain. This event occurs right after the healing of the centurion's servant in Capernaum. This is one of four resurrections performed by Jesus in the Gospels, along with the healing of Jairus' daughter in Luke 8, and the raising of Lazarus in the Gospel of John, as well as the raising of the saints that occurred at the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. In addition, there are three resurrections in the Old Testament: Elijah reviving the widow of Zarephath's son, Elisha raising the Shunammite's son, and the bones of Elisha, his relics, raising the man who was placed in his tomb. So this is one of seven resurrections that occur in Scripture, all which point towards the resurrection of Christ, which is the eighth and final resurrection, occurring on the eighth day, the day after the Sabbath, the eighth day of creation, or rather, recreation. There is much that can be said about these resurrections. Elijah and Elisha's are accompanied by great prayer. The bones of Elisha demonstrate the grace of God still present within the very bones of the dead. But there's something very unique about the resurrections attributed to Christ, about the raising of Jairus' daughter and the raising of Lazarus and the raising of the widow's son at Nain here today. And that thing is the command given to each of them. To Jairus' daughter, Christ takes her by the hand and tells her, "Little girl, arise." To the widow's son, Christ, touching his coffin, tells him, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And to Lazarus, the friend of Christ, Jesus, after weeping, cries out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." In each of these three latter cases, in Christ saying, "Little girl, arise," "Young man, arise," "Lazarus, come forth," there isn't a prayer, but a command. Christ speaks not as one under the power of death, as we all are, but as one with power over death. By his word, Christ commands each of these three to come out of death. By his command, Christ shows the powerlessness of death in the face of the deathless one. So often we think of the world as this cosmic battle between good and evil, two diametrically opposed forces battling each other. But nothing could be further from the truth. And Christ shows us this today. Death has no power in the presence of life itself. There's no great fight between Christ and the forces of death. There is simply a command: arise, come out. It's like turning on a flashlight in a dark room. There's no battle between the light and the dark, simply illumination. The dark retreats. So there is total control over death on the part of Christ, the giver of life, and death retreats, it slinks away, until it is allowed once again to take a hold of the widow's son, just as it takes a hold of all of us in due time. And this is a second point that we need to understand, that these individuals, all of them, Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, those resurrected by Elijah and Elisha, all of these individuals, although resurrected, although brought back to life, still go to their deaths. The point of these resurrections wasn't just to make a single widow or a single father rejoice in the resurrection of their child for a time being, although these are nice side effects. No, the point was to show the powerlessness of death, to show that death has no power in the presence of Christ. We all enter into death, but we enter into death knowing that Christ entered into it first. That's why we come to church on Sundays. There's no other reason to attend church on Sunday. I'm actually glad we've gotten away from a culture where you're going to church on Sunday is just what you do. That's a terrible reason to do something. We attend church on Sundays because Christ is risen from the dead. We come to church on Sundays to worship Christ and scorn death. Christ entered into death and decimated it. We too will enter into death, but we will not find Hades waiting for us. Instead, we will find traces of a jailbreak, the broken gates of Hades, captivity taken captive, the soul's ascent toward God. And yet we are not just spirits. We do not believe that we no longer have a use for our bodies. In fact, these resurrectional narratives repudiate that idea. Christ takes Jairus' daughter by the hand. Christ touches the bier of the son of the widow at Nain. Elisha's bones bring a man back from the dead. The human body is not something to be done away with at death, to be discarded. No, death is still an unnatural state for humanity. Instead, the body is to be buried with reverence and care. It is to be returned to the earth, but returned to the earth with a warning that many of us perhaps miss at the Orthodox funeral service. At the end of the Orthodox funeral service, after the final kiss upon the departed, in which we reverence God's creation for a final time, the priest does something very peculiar, either done right before the coffin is closed or right before the coffin is lowered into the earth. The priest takes dirt or ashes from the censer and either sprinkles it upon the chest of the deceased or upon the coffin of the deceased as they are lowered into the earth, and recites the following psalm verse: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein." Now, to the outsider, this may seem peculiar, but in it, it is in fact both a warning and a provocation, not against the departed, but against the devil and all the powers of death. It is an acknowledgement of that which is to come, that even the dust beneath our feet is God's, and that from this dust we shall be reconstituted, remade, refashioned. As Ezekiel was shown in the valley of the dry bones, so shall it be for us. These bones shall live, and the relics of the saints, beginning with Elisha and spanning down through the centuries, are a testament to this, that God's grace remains even in his holy ones as they are committed back to the earth. And all of this is thanks to the eighth and final resurrection contained within the pages of Scripture. And that is Christ's. Christ's resurrection issues in the eighth day of creation. It is the day after the Sabbath rest, the day which we begin to partake of here, even at this liturgy. Man dwelling with God, and God dwelling with man in communion among the saints. God being all in all, a foretaste of things to come. So on this Sunday of resurrection, let us remember life, death, and life again. You heard that right. Life, death, and life. But death leads to new life. We say this every time we recite Psalm 103 at Great Vespers on the eve of Sunday liturgy, as we anticipate this life that comes after death. We recite the words of the prophet David in Psalm 103, "Thou wilt take away their spirit, and they shall cease, and unto their dust they shall return. Thou wilt send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth." Let me repeat that. Thou, God, will take away our spirit, and we shall cease, and unto our dust shall we return. And thou, God, will send forth thy spirit, and we shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Life, death, and new life. Every Sunday, beginning with Great Vespers, then, on the eve of Sunday, is a microcosm, a small window into this resurrected way of living. Life, death, and new life, new creation. A foretaste of this joy given today in the raising of the widow's son at Nain. May we all live in this resurrection, the resurrection of Christ himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.